see the callers online. I can maybe try and do that through my phone. I'll see if we can do that. But let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. And Peter, if you could take roll, please.
Yeah. Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member Banky is not with us this morning, but she will be reviewing all the testimony today once it's transcribed in the next few days. Member Romeo.
Here.
Member Markham.
Here.
Member Simpson.
I assume you called my name, Peter. I'm having a tough time hearing you. I think you might need to get a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
But I'm assuming you called my name and I'm here.
Yes. Okay. So we have four members present and accounted for, Mr. Chairman. We do have a quorum.
Thank you. Can you put up the agenda for today? Okay, this is the agenda, draft agenda for Friday, April 8th, beginning the meeting at 10 a.m. We've called the meeting to order and established that there is a quorum present. We have the draft agenda before us. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
I'll move the agenda, Mr. Chair.
Second.
So there's a motion made and seconded to adopt the agenda as presented. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's adopted. And the first item on the agenda is public testimony. And so we're going to begin public testimony. And Peter, if you could help me there. I'm going to try and get it on my phone, but I'm in a different office, so I don't have all my screens, and I'm going to see if I can log in and find it on my phone.
Sure. So we have one testifier present, Mr. Andrew Gray here in Anchorage. And
Okay. Andrew, if you could join us, please, at the microphone. And the audio is a little difficult from the LIO there, so the closer you can get to the microphone and the more you can project your voice, would be appreciated.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Andrew.
Close enough? Okay. My name is Andrew Gray, and I speak
this
for myself.
Is being recorded.
Only.
Just started recording.
My name is Andrew Gray, and I speak for myself only. I do not represent my employers in any way. I live in House District 19 in Anchorage. My family moved into our home there in 2019, just 2 weeks before I deployed with the Alaska Army National Guard for 10 months. So I have a relationship with the military and with J-Bear, and that's the bulk of what I will be testifying about. While on that deployment, I was having lunch with some enlisted soldiers in the dining facility, and I asked one where he had grown up. He said the trailer park across from the Northway Mall here in Anchorage. I remarked that I had never met anyone who had grown up in a trailer park, and after a pause, all four enlisted soldiers I was seated with explained that they too had spent at least part of their childhoods in trailer parks. I tell this story to illustrate a fact about the U.S. military. Many young people who sign up to serve do so to escape the poverty of their childhoods. You see, as someone unfamiliar with trailer park living and the anomaly, those with firsthand knowledge are the majority. Three hots in a cot is a popular saying describing the promise of food and shelter for many 18-year-olds. And it would not be a given without the military's help. A 2018 demographic analysis by the Council on Foreign Relations showed that over 60% of enlistments came from neighborhoods with a median household income between $38,000 and $80,000. 19% of recruits came from households with an income of less than $38,000. The average annual income in Eagle River is $129,768. This means more than 80% of military recruits come from households unlike those in Eagle River. And if lower enlisted choose to live off base, they inevitably end up in lower cost housing in Mountain View, North Muldoon, or even in my neighborhood in Midtown. And yet, members of this board are insisting on pairing Eagle River with J-Bear. What military members can afford to live in Eagle River? Higher ranking officers. The Congressional Research Service reports that 63% of enlisted service members are white, 37% non-white. J-Bear is actually even more diverse, with 60.7% of the voting age population identifying as white and just under 40% identifying as non-white. However, 88% of senior military officers are white. And it is these higher-ranking officers who can afford to live in Eagle River. I should point out that the voting age population in Chugiak, Eagle River is over 73% white. In recent litigation that made its way to the Alaska Supreme Court, this redistricting board was found guilty of an unconstitutional gerrymander for creating a Senate district pairing Eagle River House District with an East Anchorage House District. I would argue that the Senate district pairing Eagle River with J-Bear is just as egregiously unconstitutional, if not more so. The poor minority voices of J-Bear will be overridden by the rich white residents of Eagle River. And that is what the goal is here, to increase the Senate representation of Eagle River. As board member Bethany Markham so eloquently stated on the record on November 5th, 2021, quote, "This actually gives Eagle River the opportunity to have more representation," end quote. Why? Why would anyone want Eagle River, of all places, to have more representation? Well, the Chugiak Eagle River area has been a conservative stronghold since prior to Alaskan statehood. In fact, that area was so conservative that they actually opposed statehood in the 1950s. So if there were a way to increase their representation, one could enshrine a conservative advantage in the makeup of the Alaskan Senate for the next 10 years. Yesterday, Chairman Binkley explained to a testifier that she could not compare Anchorage reapportionment of assembly districts with Alaska redistricting, that these were two completely different processes. Although the processes may be different, the conservative objective is the same: increase Eagle River's representation. During Anchorage reapportionment, Eagle River was guaranteed from the start two assembly members. So in that case, in order to increase representation, the tactic was to minimize the population represented by those two Eagle River assembly members. This was achieved by fierce testimony against the pairing of Eagle River with any other part of Anchorage. The option most strongly considered was a pairing of Chugiak Eagle River with Hillside in South Anchorage. I would like to quote some of that testimony from a town hall held on January 27, 2022. Eagle River Assembly member and current unopposed candidate for State House, Jamie Allard, said, quote, "It was brought up the fact that if we are connected to Hillside or we are connected to Birdwood, you would literally have to ride a doll sheep in order to get to those areas. Unless we drove approximately from our location almost an hour to get to Hillside and an hour and a half to get down to Girdwood." I would also point out that when folks are saying that we have things in common over there, look at who their elected officials are: Suzanne LaFrance and John Weddleton. Wonderful people, but you have to still ask, what do we have in common with those areas? We don't, end quote. Although I personally disagree with Ms. Allard's assessment that the only means of transport, or one of the only means of transport, would be riding doll sheep, I want to thank her explicitly for stating that this is a political process. And although the method is different here in redistricting, the goal is not. By avoiding pairing the two Eagle River House districts with each other, which by any metric is how you would create the most compact, contiguous, socioeconomically integrated Senate district, The redistricting board is seeking to expand Eagle River's influence on the Alaska Senate. We know from numerous studies that voter participation increases with family income. In the 2016 presidential election, 48% of voters in the lowest income category voted, while almost double that, a whopping 86% of voters in the highest income category cast a ballot. This trend holds true for Eagle River. Eagle River consistently participates in elections at a significantly higher rate than their lower income neighbors. So if Eagle River gets two senators, you can bet it will be Eagle River electing those senators, not the J-Bear House District, nor the South Anchorage House District. We will get two Laura Reingolds, not two Bill Willikowskis. Please allow me to again quote Bethany Markham. Quote, this actually gives Eagle River the opportunity to have more representation, end quote. She is absolutely right. And that's why this plan is absolutely wrong. Giving Eagle River extra representation is unconstitutional and should not be allowed. So why is this board continuing with this ill-intentioned plan? Because there are no adverse consequences to the board adopting another unconstitutional gerrymander. There is only upside for them. There's a chance that no lawsuit will be brought forth, and therefore the gerrymander will stand for the next 10 years. Alternatively, litigation could be pursued, but it will take time. Even on an expedited schedule, it would take several months after an appeal to the Alaska Supreme Court before you are sent back here to rework the Senate hearings. And by then, the November election would be approaching, and it might be too close to print new ballots. No one on this board will be held personally liable for any unconstitutional hearings. So what have you got to lose? Nothing. What have you got to gain? Continued Republican control of the Alaska Senate. With that knowledge, I make this plea in vain, I know. But nevertheless, I ask all five of you to please oppose the Senate pairings and map 3E. Please support the Senate pairings and map option 2, which keep like parts together, J-Bear with downtown, South Anchorage with South Anchorage, and Eagle River with Eagle River. Thank you for allowing me to testify, and thank you for your service to the state of Alaska.
Andrew, there's a few questions. I think Don might be muted. But I see Bethany has her hand up.
I apologize. Nicole and Bethany. Go ahead, Nicole.
Thank you for your testimony today, Andrew. And it's probably not a surprise that I agree with a large amount of what you said today. Peter, can you please pull up the map that we worked on yesterday that showed the route from the southern portion of District 9 to District 22?
Okay. Yeah, give me a second.
And I want to acknowledge all of the points that you put on the record about gerrymandering, but I also want to bring you back to the Constitution, because at this point in our work, it's very clear what we're supposed to do under Article 6, Section 6, which says that each Senate district shall be composed as near as practicable of two contiguous House districts. And this is a point that I continue to struggle with as a board member as to why we would pair a House district that is at some points 87 miles away with another one that a Anchorage Assembly member, as you testified today, has said the most practical means of traveling is on the back of adult sheep, which I don't believe any Alaskan wants to do, or the representative who's elected to represent those two Senate pairings. So Peter's going to bring up a House map here that shows the primary mode of transportation via either the New Seward Highway or up through Lake Otis to, Elmore to Lake Otis here. And looking at this map, Andrew, are these the two most practicable contiguous linkages in your opinion?
Yeah. These are the most practical. This is how I would drive between South Anchorage and Eagle River.
Okay, thank you. And I see here that if you took the New Seward Highway from District 9, you would cross through District 10, 13, 14, 17, 18, 23, and a bit of 21. So that's seven house districts by my estimation.
Correct.
Is that the most practicable linkage, or are there more natural linkages that would make districts closer together?
Well, as was discussed yesterday in the testimony, I mean, you can use the Crow Pass Trail, that it's 21 miles long, and it's only usable half of the year, and it's you'd have to be in very good physical shape.
Okay. And then the other route would be what's in red, what I'm going to call the Elmore route, in which case you would go through districts 11, 12, 19, 21, 20, 23, and that's six.
Correct.
So, again, not very practicable in terms of contiguity. Or the most practicable. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Bethany? Bethany, I think you're still muted. There you go.
I was looking for the mute button. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'd like to say thank you, Mr. Gray, very much for testifying as a fellow military member. I want to thank you for your service. I'm not sure if we were deployed at any of the same times or not, but if we were, I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to meet you in theater. But I wanted to ask, because you did mention my statement several times, and I wanted to ask if you had also heard what I said on the record about Muldoon and the configuration that we gave Muldoon in the proclamation plan.
Well, I have followed the redistricting board very closely since November, but I'm not sure if I remember the statement. So if you want to remind me, that would be helpful.
Sure. What I talked about was the number of potential senators that Muldoon would have been able to elect in the same plan that you're referring to that would have allowed Eagle River to potentially choose two senators.
Right.
Does that ring a bell at all?
Yes, it does ring a bell. And what I would say, and it was present in my testimony, was the well-established fact by multiple studies that the higher the income, the higher the voter participation. So if you pair a high-income area such as Eagle River with a lower-income district, the higher-income area is going to have a much higher degree of voter participation. So the chances of the higher-income area being the group that chooses the senator is much, much more likely. So what you would end up with is two Eagle River senators, not a Muldoon senator for Eagle River, if that makes sense.
Well, I appreciate that is someone's theory, but I think the reality of what we're looking at in terms of the senators that are elected in Alaska show that that's not the case, that there are certainly places where we have been able to elect senators from areas that are you know, not necessarily in line with the philosophy that you just quoted from. So
I will send you the studies. They are not theories,
sure.
But they are actually studies from the 2016 presidential election that showed that the lower the income, the less likely someone was to vote.
So back to the question that I had asked, I wanted to clarify, since I wasn't sure if you heard, that the way that the configuration was in the last plan, Muldoon actually had House representation in three different districts, and so certainly it was never my intent and is not my intent to try to get extra representation by Eagle River as has been purported by some. It was to give Eagle River just the opportunity to participate in elections and choose their representatives and senators in the same way that Muldoon would be able to have that opportunity. And in the case of the plan that was drawn for the proclamation, Muldoon would have had the opportunity to participate in and have three different senators to represent them in the Alaska State Senate. So I just wanted to make sure that you have that information, but thank you for your testimony.
Yes. So for clarity, what you're saying is that what you were trying to do was help Muldoon at the expense of Eagle River.
That's not what I said. I said that they would have the opportunity to elect that in the same way that Eagle River would have the opportunity. The intent was not to give anyone more representation than any other. That is words that other people have put in my mouth. The full exchange that happened at the time was someone asked me what could be the result, and I said the result could be that Eagle River would have more representation, just as the result could be that Muldoon would have more representation.
Ma'am, what is the harm of pairing Eagle River with Eagle River?
Well, first of all, there's only one, Eagle River. The other seat is Chugiak, Peters Creek, and Jay Bear. And so just to clarify that there's one Eagle River seat where most of Eagle River resides. But the harm of pairing Chugiak, Peters Creek, and Jay Bear together with the Eagle River seat is that Jay Bear then is orphaned. And Jay Bear then is forced to do, as is purported in plan number two, to be paired with the downtown district. And there certainly can be no bigger differences than downtown and Jay Bear. So when you're talking about folks that live in, along 9th Street or Bootleggers Cove or the 13th Street and I Street, in those areas, you compare those folks with the people who live in base housing, we're talking about two very different sets of living and such. And so that is the harm, is that by forcing those two districts together, the intent, in my opinion, is to force Jay Bear to then be swallowed up by the downtown district.
Roger, I hear what you're saying. I would argue that most people who live in Jay Bear housing cannot afford to live in Eagle River, and the differences are just as distinct.
And I would have to differ with you there, because I think that Eagle River is much more working class compared to downtown, which is much more expensive than Eagle River.
The average household income is $129,000 in Eagle River. So I would differ with you there, and I will be happy to send you those figures.
Yeah, I would look forward to getting those. As a military person, I can say that I myself have lived in Eagle River, and so I know that and I know many people who do, being still an active military member, and so I know many folks who do. So I do know that it is affordable to them, but I'm sure there are exceptions. So thank you for your testimony today,
thank
Mr.
you.
Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Nicole, is that your hand back up again?
It is. Thank you very much. And Andrew, thank you as well for your service as a military spouse. My husband also came from those same demographics that you mentioned earlier and was able to rise out of what would probably be considered poverty and go on to the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis and graduate, do 13 years active duty, two tours overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I do appreciate the sacrifice and service to the country. I also want to just add for the record here, again, this what I consider at this point to be overemphasis on similarities and differences between the two, between all of the Senate hearings in Anchorage, because the task before us is very clear at this point. We have to pair the most contiguous districts as practicable. And that's where I continue to have a problem with option 3B, is 9 and 12 are not the most contiguous districts as practicable. But I also want to state for the record here, because I think Bethany was going down a slippery slope here with that argument that this is actually giving Muldoon three separate senators. The court has already reviewed that and found that it actually, quote, fails and falls flat in the face of reality. And instead, it seems Muldoon is actually cracked among multiple Senate districts and its voting strength is diluted as a result. Again, page 69 of the opinion. So I don't want that perception to be out there that the board did this in a way to somehow bolster the voting power in Muldoon. It was found to be the exact opposite.
Hey, you still got your done, Nicole?
I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gray, very compelling testimony. You did a great job. One quick question, maybe if I could, just about contiguity. Do you think that means in terms of, you've equated it to how you have to drive and drive through more?
I'm sorry, sir. I'll just cut you off. That's Jamie Allard. That was not me.
The definition of contiguity relates to drivability in a car?
I personally don't. That would be Jamie Allard. I would refer you to Republican thought leader Jamie Allard to discuss that.
You don't believe that it's any more or less contiguous if you have to drive through a district to get from one place to another?
I know that in Alaska, we have Senate districts that are not necessarily drivable, but I would argue, and I agree, it could be argued, I think it's easier to drive from Aklutna to Eagle River than from Portage to Eagle River.
I would agree with you too, but do you think in terms of the Constitution and the word contiguity that it refers to driving?
I think that you want the most compact, contiguous, and socioeconomically integrated districts that you can find. And I would say without a doubt that pairing the Kootenai, Peters Creek, the north part of Jay Bear with Eagle River is a more compact, contiguous, socioeconomically integrated pairing than South Anchorage, Girdwood, all the way down to Portage. I just think that common sense tells you that that's a more compact, contiguous, socioeconomically integrated Senate pairing. Do I think it's possible in certain circumstances to have non-contiguous Senate pairings? I do. I do think that's possible.
And so we are talking about Senate pairings here, and you're obviously well-schooled and up to speed on this. But with regard to the Senate pairings, what's your understanding of what the Constitution says we are required to look at for Senate pairings?
I don't know.
If it would help you, Andrew, I can show you that part of the Constitution.
I'm going to be shown that part of the Constitution, sir. Just a moment.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe you had a legal background. You did a.
I do not have a legal background. You know what? I will be honest with you. I would not be testifying today if you guys hadn't had these extra days of testimony. If you had asked me to testify on Tuesday, I would have had nothing to say. It was really from listening to the hearings the last couple of days that got me to thinking. So thank you for the extra days of testimony. That allowed me to kind of get my thoughts together. But, no, I don't really – I'm not legal. So each – I'm going to quote from the Constitution. Each Senate district shall be composed as near as practicable of two contiguous House districts. So I think what this is saying is that sometimes it's not practicable to have two contiguous House districts. However, in this case, there is – it is very practicable to pair Peters Creek, Chidiac, North Jay Bear with Eagle River. So I think that is the most practical answer.
About the socioeconomic.
So that was for House districts. I understand that this is for Senate, so you don't have to include that. But it does seem to be the most contiguous with the South Anchorage with South Anchorage, South Jay Bear with downtown, and Peters Creek with Eagle River.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And again, you did an excellent job. You're very articulate, and I'm very impressed.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Peter, do you have the sign-up list there?
Just one moment for me.
John, do you have the off-net list yet, or are you talking about the in-room list?
Yeah, the off-net list and the sign-up sheet there in the LIO.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The next person in the queue is Susan Fischetti, who's on site here in Anchorage.
Yes, good morning, Susan. Good to see you on Zoom this time.
Yes, finally, I made it. I'm happy to be here and to see you in person. I'm here to testify as a 40-year resident of Eagle River in support of Map 3B. I appreciate the opportunity to testify as a private citizen. I'm not an elected official or paid by any organization or law firm. It doesn't feel right to have my public testimony in writing for the Anchorage Assembly redistricting blasted on Twitter by public officials. My testimony on the Assembly redistricting is not to be confused with my testimony for the state of Alaska redistricting. They are two separate issues. This should also apply to community councils that passed resolutions for the Assembly redistricting and are now carrying it over to the state. I attend community council meetings regularly, and usually there are anywhere from 6 to 20 attendees. which may not always represent the thousands of voters in their area. I also don't appreciate the intimidation and attacks against private citizens in this process. We're nervous, confused, and scared of saying the wrong thing. Many of us have tried to stick to 2 minutes for our testimony, but some have testified for over 10 minutes. The testimony is now becoming a numbers game and bashing Eagle River and personal attacks. Historically, when Eagle River has been paired with the Hillside, the elected officials have been from the Hillside, so it does not guarantee Eagle River another seat. I disagree that the accusation that gerrymandering would be map 3. I believe any claim of gerrymandering would be map 2. I drive all over Anchorage. We in Eagle River pay the same property taxes as Anchorage, so we should not be discriminated against. In fact, we share more land mass and miles with the Hillside along the Chugach Mountains than any other district. They are most certainly contiguous. Also, military and veterans are very prominent in Chugach Eagle River and should be paired with J-Bear. They are contiguous and have been historically paired for many years. I will limit my time and hope that others will be more respectful. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Nicole, you've got your hand up.
I do. Thank you very much. And I have 3 questions for the testifier. Map 2, in your opinion, is gerrymandered. Can you give us an example of that? This is maybe the 3rd time that you've said that, and I'm having a hard time understanding what you mean when you just...
It doesn't matter what I say. You've asked me it 3 times, and I've said it 3 times, you know, you've got your opinion already predispositioned.
Right.
So anything that I say, I'm not going to change your mind.
Okay, but... But the analogy to that is that it's sunny outside, and I could say that it's snowing. And if I just say that it's snowing, it doesn't mean that it actually is snowing, does it? Next question. You've asked us not to discriminate against Eagle River. How are we discriminating against Eagle River?
The prior person that just testified, I don't think represents Eagle River, but yet he seems to have quite a bit of his opinion on it, and I disagree with it.
Is it your position that you represent Eagle River?
I have been a resident for 40 years of Eagle River.
Okay, because I have a lot of testimony from Eagle River here that says not to split Eagle River, so I just want to put that on the record.
From the assembly redistricting.
Actually, Ms. Rossetti, it's not. It's been taken over the last several days coming in.
We get intimidated and bullied. That's an example of that to me.
You don't have any problem seem to find your way here over the intimidation, so I thank you for being brave enough to appear. Final question. Peter, please put up the route map.
That's what it is.
Okay.
For the public.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you being brave again to appear here today. These are the most common routes between districts 9 and 22, and the Constitution says that it is our task to pair the most contiguous as practicable districts. Can you explain how you would drive from district 22 to 9 via the Seward Highway and how many districts you go through?
Can I ask you a question? Because I don't know the answer to this. My question is, where do you live?
I live in Turnagain now.
Turnagain, okay.
And I used to live in Fairview.
You know, 25 or more routes that I could take to get to the Hillside. I could take Lake Otis.
That's the red.
And, you know, whatever way I want to go, I can go there. It's the miles. If you look at the purple, we have the most contiguous districts that there are. These other ones are just little tiny blocks that are contiguous. We have a big contiguous area.
Through the Chugach State Park.
Contiguous area, according to those lines that have been drawn.
Okay. For the record, if Ms. Frischetti does take Lake Otis, like she said, that does require going through 6 house districts. That's it. Thank you.
Well, Suzanne, I think there's another question from Bethany.
Thank you, Ms. Frischetti. Appreciate you testifying. So in response to the question that you were just asked by Member Bromeo, if you were in a Senate district that was that had a Senate seat that was composed of two districts, an Eagle River seat and a South Hillside district. What would be the reason for going to the other district? If you were trying to contact your legislator, you wouldn't be going to their house anyway, right? So what would be the purpose of driving through those places to go to the other district? Can you think of a reason why you would need to do that?
No. That's why we have the LIO, which is where we usually would meet with our legislators. And that's why we're meeting here today.
So there really isn't any, you know, when you talk about the linkages and the driving to South Hillside, there's not any, because you're paired as a Senate seat, there's really not any need for you to go to South Hillside, you're saying?
I can't even get to Juneau. So, you know, I don't think it's an issue myself.
Well, we're just grateful that we do have the LIO that's available to folks all over Anchorage, right? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
It is, and Suzanne, too, you might have heard the exchange a little bit earlier about what the Constitution actually says. It says contiguity, but it does not say anything about which is the quickest way or the easiest way to drive to get from one side of the district to the other, or if it requires going through other House districts to get from one side to the other. It mentions nothing about that. It simply means they have to connect. At least that's my basic observation of what contiguous means. And I think, as you pointed out, 22 and 9 have a huge geographic linear amount of contiguity as they touch. And the Constitution does not say anything about having to drive from one side of the district to the other or how many districts you may have to get to. Nicole, you want to add something else for the record?
I do. Thank you very much. I'd like to point out that the Supreme Court has addressed that very issue, John, and they called it false contiguity and second-rate contiguity. So we've been down that path before where we've listened to counsel when counsel says they just have to be touching, and the court was pretty clear that it's got to be a little bit more than false contiguity or second-rate contiguity. So I caution our members here to be very careful as we consider this line of argument again, because it's already failed once.
It's already been done several times.
That's why we redistrict.
And I might mention also, Nicole, that the Supreme Court also spoke, and the Superior Court in Valdez, the challenge there, where you had to drive through other districts to get from one side of the district to the other, and upheld that. And so I don't think this notion, and I don't agree with it whatsoever, that just because you have to drive through another district, get from one side of a Senate district to the other, eliminates it from being an acceptable district. But we obviously disagree on that. So let's move on, if you don't mind.
And I can
appreciate that, but
you're comparing apples to oranges. We're not talking about the Mat-Su Borough and Valdez. We're talking about the municipality of Anchorage and what the most practicable contiguity is. So let's focus on the law. Let's focus on the Constitution. And let's focus on a compass, okay?
Yeah. Let's do focus, and let's not be condescending either to witnesses or to each other. So let's move on.
Right.
Peter, who's next in the queue?
We have Katie Nolan, who's off net. She's from Anchorage. She's been in the queue.
Hi, my name is Katie Nolan.
Katie?
Yes.
Yeah, please proceed. Thank you.
All right. I'm the president of HALO, the Home and Landowners Organization, Incorporated. Of the Anchorage Hill site. And for those of you who don't know, we have been representing the Anchorage Hill site since 1970, which was long before we were incorporated into the municipality. We created the Hillside District Plan, which is the planning document for the Anchorage Hill site. And the Anchorage Hill site now consists of the same areas that we have been representing. They are now the community councils in the area, too, including Abbott Loop, Bear Valley, Glen Alps, Hillside, Huff and O'Malley, and Rabbit Creek community councils. But we were there before everybody else, representing the Anchorage Hill site. And we had our normal monthly meeting last night, and we looked at these two maps, and I will tell you that neither one of them is perfect. But the one that meets the needs of the Anchorage Hill site is going to be map 2, not map 3. The idea that we are contiguous with Eagle River ignores the fact that there's one of the largest state parks in the nation between us. And it is faster to get from the Anchorage Hill site to Whittier and the Kenai Peninsula than it is to get to Eagle River Valley. The challenge is that not just is this not contiguous with no, there are so few similarities between the Anchorage Hill site and Eagle River. We have different road systems. We have different services. They have their own parks department. There are things that the state does with Eagle River that are not appropriate for Anchorage and vice versa. The biggest problem, though, that we saw with it was that we like seeing our Juneau representatives at our meetings whenever they're not in session. It's virtually impossible for any of our representatives to adequately represent an area that is so far away from us, and it's not fair to them. Trying to spend an hour driving to a meeting in Upper River Valley and then come back to a meeting on the Anchorage Hillside, that's not going to work for anyone, which means we're going to keep Zoom as an option. And Zoom and one-dimensional people is not an option that's conducive to building relationships with our representatives. The other thing that's important to remember is that we have everything in common with each other, and we have had for over 50 years. We have little in common and little interest in common with Eagle River Valley, Eagle River, Chugiak, all those areas. The other thing that I've heard listening to testimony is that for some reason we've got this faulty belief that everybody on the hillside is wealthy, like everybody on the Eagle River is wealthy. We have, sure, wealthy areas, just like Eagle River does, but we also have very high-density housing on our lower sections. We have workforce housing throughout, just like Eagle River does. And to think that we're all just, you know, these rich nabobs is, quite frankly, it's offensive, because we're not. We're just people like everywhere else in Anchorage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Any questions for Katie? Thank you again. Who's next on the list, Peter?
Ruth Cusack or Cusack from Chugiak? Oh, she looks like we may have lost her.
Ruth, are you with us online?
No, looks like we've lost her. Joan Kaur from Soldotna?
Yes.
Good morning, Joan. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I was just concerned because Anchorage is important to the whole state, and I have quite a few friends that live in Anchorage and Eagle River and Rabbit Creek, and it seems like they have more in common than the Option 2 map. And then in listening, I don't see what the working military people have in common with downtown Anchorage, and I just wanted to encourage people to choose map 3B with the like pairing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Joan? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next testifier, Peter.
We have Brianna Sullivan from Girdwood.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right?
We can. Very well. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning to the Alaska Redistricting Board. My name is Brianna Sullivan. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and today I am speaking as a Girdwood resident who also sits in an elected seat on our Girdwood Board of Supervisors. may be trivial, but I spent my formative years living in close proximity to District 22 and now call District 9 home. Thank you for all of your time, your work, and for holding additional meetings online, phone, and in person in order to listen to thoughtful public testimony to allow more weigh-in from Alaskans who care about the present and future of their communities, small and large, and ostensibly the process of governance in our state. I don't know everyone in Girdwood, but I know lots of people of all ages. In fact, I am constantly reminded that most of my peers are starting families or caring for theirs. They are busy working and enjoying their days. Unlike most of them, I paid attention to the reapportionment by the Anchorage Assembly because of my involvement in community and the significance of the potential changes. For the same reason cited in reference to local government and acknowledging compact areas of town found during this thorough process, the Senate redistricting could also reasonably follow identified voting areas of the municipality. Regarding the Senate redistricting, from the few written testimonials I read from various states and oral public testimonials I have heard over the last week, it seems apparent countless individuals have urged you to quickly make this next crucial decision to not waste time, to not pair Eagle River with Girdwood, and to take the Alaska Supreme Court ruling into utmost consideration when making these decisions. For example, the Supreme Court ruled that Eagle River should not be split, as this would give them more representation. Solving this issue would be prudent. Pairing districts 24 and 23 does what the court already cautioned against. I urge you to revert to the pairing of 22 and 24. Where the court urged against breaking districts and therefore their representation, please advise. In public process, to live fairly, equitably, to make changes, to make our communities operate in their best capacity, function well and organize, to address the needs of society, we start with our roots, with our neighbors, and then our communities and our representatives. These public offices are held by residents in the areas in which they live, who understand the nuances of their towns and cities, and thus have a vested interest in serving their constituents. Citizens can support and vote for their representatives, and it makes sense that these individuals be within reach to be in contact and be physically in places of need to support and to represent. Contiguous districts make sense and therefore do not substantially disrupt or break up communities. I acknowledge the uniqueness of communities and neighborhoods within the expansive municipality of Anchorage. And because they are all connected by roads and bridges and similarities, it's possible to group them within the constitutional definition. The commonalities they share are the proximity and culture, and most often, the terrain. People feel tied to their communities, whether it's tangible or a line on a map. The idea of connecting extremely distant districts 9 and 22, where thick forests, rivers, drainages, and mountains stand firmly in between, causes confusion and seems far-fetched. When there is an alternative, practical option, the way that the municipality of Anchorage is developed. Moreover, having a representative of Girdwood or Whittier living in Eagle River, or a representative of Eagle River living in Girdwood or along Turniganar, makes a very challenging and undesirable job for a representative. I'd like representatives to run for office that want to work for their constituents. The communities of the South Anchorage, Girdwood, and farther south, and Eagle River exhibit distinctive and obvious differences already explained and have a very long and unnecessary drive by car, with plenty of construction lately connecting them. Also noted, 9 and 22 have 6 to 8 densely populated Senate districts squished between. Based on public testimony, most comments from Eagle River do not want to be paired with South Anchorage and Girdwood and vice versa. We are humans with habits, and we are bound to roadways and plying the city of Anchorage for transportation, business, and commerce. Anchorage not only connects us, but the largest population in South Central Alaska separates us. We are not wildlife that roam among or above the Chugach Mountains. Regarding testimony on the size of districts when looking at the map, the missing information is the topography. Hillside and South Anchorage have more in common with the Turniganar and Girdwood community than the majority of Eagle River. Through the chair, I urge Board Member Simpson to strongly consider the Constitution as read, to listen to the outpouring of public support for option two and to the countless people who are providing public testimony in this important issue. Furthermore, I encourage all board members to oppose option 3B, which is unconstitutional, and support option 2. Keep East Anchorage districts together as they request and Eagle River districts together as they request. This would obviously maintain most satisfaction and better functioning already established of a healthy society. Do not further confuse anyone with more maps, and please do not delay this process. Thank you so much for your efforts and time in this matter.
Thank you, Brianna. Nicole, you've got your hand up.
I do. I have just a point of clarification, Brianna. Are you calling in on behalf of yourself or the Girdwood Board of Supervisors?
I'm calling on behalf of myself. Thank you, Nicole. The
okay.
Girdwood Board of Supervisors did submit our opinion as well.
Fantastic. Last question. If you were to travel to Eagle River, how would you do that?
I would unfortunately get in my car and not carpool, and I would drive the Seward Highway, and I would take the most direct route. So I would stay on the Seward Highway until I hit 36 and gamble and take a right and stay on the highway all the way. But there are lots of other ways I could take that would not save any gas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A question, Brianna. Have you, in the time that you've been on the Board of Supervisors, have you been involved in the political process? Have you had an occasion to travel from where you live in Girdwood to the other House district that is connected by your senator?
By my senator. I have, but not for purposes of being on the Girdwood Board of Supervisors. And since my time on the Board of Supervisors, we've been in a pandemic, so all of our meetings have been virtual. But I've met a lot of people through that process, and it's been a really great experience.
Yes, a question, I didn't ask it very well, but do you find yourself traveling from one House district to another House district for purposes of contacting your senator?
Not for purpose of contacting my senator, no, I do not drive.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I think next is Phil Mosier from Juneau. Phil, are you on the line?
Yes, I am on the line.
Good morning.
My name
is... You fine. Please proceed.
Thank you. My name is Phil Mosier. I'm testifying from Juneau in the Mendenhall Valley. I'm representing myself. I've been following along the redistricting process since it started last year, and I would like to call in support of option two. I don't live in Anchorage, but I'm familiar with the talk and the history of gerrymandering and the United States and in Alaska. I've read up on the previous instances where that's become an issue. I feel option two is the map most likely to fairly represent Anchorage, and this has ramifications for the entire state as well. South Anchorage is a diverse area, and the representation that we get there not only represents Anchorage or the people of South Anchorage, but it helps add a voice to diverse communities around Alaska, including here in Juneau. For that reason, I would really like to testify in support of that, and I would like to add that throughout this process, there's been multiple warnings about constitutionality, and there's been multiple warnings about the risk of running up against racial non-discrimination policies, constitutional policies, and the mandate of the board to keep districts contiguous, representative, and to make sure that it connects communities that are similar to each other socioeconomically. there have been board members that throughout this whole process have been very clear in warning against those issues. And at this point, those board members have been correct. So when board members Borromeo and Benke have been recommending option two as the one least likely to run into constitutionality or other issues, I'm inclined to trust them, and I recommend the board do the same. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Questions for Phil? Okay, next on the line is Leon Hymus. Good morning, Leon. Are you there?
Hello, good morning. Yes, this is Leon Hymus. I'm calling back in on behalf of myself. And thank you for taking testimony. And I was listening to some of the testimony earlier on the the definition of contiguous, and I was reading the Article 6 of the Constitution, and the last sentence in there is drainage and other geographic features shall be used in describing boundaries wherever possible. And so I just wanted to point out that if you look at the topography, the drainage for District 22 goes into both the Turnagain Arm and the Kinnick Arm of the Cook Inlet, and District 9 only drains into the Kinnick Arm of the Cook Inlet. So I think it's significant that they chose to put drainage in there and other geographic features, because I think, if you look at the highest elevations in the area between Whittier and Eagle River, that's a pretty distinct boundary there. And so I think that, is something that could also be taken into consideration in the debate on whether or not the Supreme Court means contiguous to only, refer to the geographic, map as a two-dimensional map. And I after I had already called in, I did hear that this might be settled law already. So, that was all I wanted to say today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Leon. Nicole.
Thanks, Leon. I didn't hear from you. Do you have a preference on either option 2 or 3B at this point?
Oh, yes. I think that option 2 is really the only map that is practicable for a Senate district pairing for Senate District K.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go back to the LIO office. Mr. Riedrich, Randy Riedrich. Good morning, and welcome back.
Good morning, and I have a question for staff. Has the map that I filed at 9:15 this morning available to be shown, Peter?
I do have the email.
Point of order here. We agreed as a board, Randy, last week that yesterday was going to be the final time for options of corrections to be considered. So if you're insisting on amending 3B again, that's out of order.
That is not what I'm doing. I'm trying to clarify what 3B is all about. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for that clarification. With that explanation, I have no objection to being shown the map.
Just give me a second to... show what you want to show?
That does show. I'm Randy Riedrich. I'm representing myself this morning to just provide some clarification. I actually sent in a map that only focused on the new Senate E in option 3D, but this will suffice since it clearly shows the boundary, the full length of the boundary from East Anchorage for District 9, District 22, and District 12 meet. The boundary extends to the east in various segments to the far side, to the far east side of the Anchorage municipality. This map is clearly contiguous, therefore the words of being close to contiguous are not relevant. We have a map here which has been materially the same as a Senate district that has existed in the past, and a House district has actually gone across that to show that that whole area is socioeconomically integrated, which is even a higher standard than what you need for a Senate district. I just want to point out that this is essentially 35 plus miles of contiguous territory. Any questions?
Nicole?
Thank you. Randy, this is going to be a point of contention, I believe, for you and I going forward, because as a trained lawyer, I have to fall back on the Constitution, and the Constitution does say in Article 6, Section 6, that the Senate pairings, each Senate district shall be composed as near as practicable to two contiguous House districts. So I want to very strongly object to your observation that as close to contiguous is not relevant. It is indeed exactly what this board is required to do. And I intend to follow the Constitution all the way until the end of the process. I'm not suggesting that you are not, but you and I have different readings of the Constitution, and I'm going to follow what words are written in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole, and I would certainly agree with Mr. Riedrich. I'm not a trained attorney, but my plain reading of the Constitution, I agree with him. So we can all disagree respectfully. Any other questions for Mr. Riedrich? Bethany?
There we go. Found the mute button. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So there are definitely different interpretations of what the language in the Constitution means. Do you know of any place that it is settled law, or that is, or is it a point that would need to be litigated in order to determine what the actual meaning is?
Through the chair, Ms. Markham. In the maps that have been drawn since 94, I believe we have had physical contact of one district on land with another district for them to be paired. We meet that standard in this case with one of the longest contact areas in Anchorage that is possible. Before 94, when Southeast had more districts, I do not recall exactly how it was done, but there were districts that were, I think, connected island to island or touched island to island. That's not going to make sense. Let me try again. A district would contain a group of islands. Another district would contain an adjacent group of islands. There was no place where they physically touched on the same island, because that would have been splitting the island, and they were therefore connected across water. That might be as close to a interpretation as one can get to creating 20 districts in certain parts of the state just due to the complexities of geography itself.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reedrick. Nicole, another question?
I just want to make sure that Randy has seen page 27 of the Superior Court opinion, because Judge Matthews addresses this very point where he talks about citing HICL. The court has defined the contiguity criterion to require, quote, territory which is bordering or touching, or more specifically that, quote, every part of the district is reachable from every other part of the district without crossing the district boundary. So, Peter, please pull up the route map here so we can take a look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then you can rely on your memory, but Peter will still pull it up. Because if I look at the route map, you cannot get from District 9 communities like Whittier, Portage, Girdwood, Indian without crossing through at least six other districts to get to Eagle River. Is that your assessment of the transportation corridors that doesn't involve Adult Sheep?
At this time, as several people have testified today,
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Frassetti. Nobody's going to write a bell sheep. I agree.
Okay. As several people have testified today.
Right.
We have been blessed with Teams and Zoom, mm-hmm. and most meetings no longer require physical attendance. And as a matter of fact, it saves energy, it saves time, it saves, in the case of a little more complicated logistics, long trips on airplanes or ferries. So the argument that you must be able would create many problems for many parts of the state, and I think our technology has moved beyond this as a reliable, significant standard.
Thank you, Mr. Reedrick, for that, and I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. I'm going to fall back on the Constitution, the words of the Constitution, and the esteemed jurists who we have appointed to the Alaska Supreme Court to interpret that Constitution when, once again, they have said in HICL, quote, every part of the district must be reachable from every other part without crossing the district boundary.
In what year was HICL?
1992.
My point exactly.
Is your point that the Constitution has changed between 1992 and 2022?
Nicole, could you let him finish, please?
He has finished. There's a little bit of a lag here, John, so don't worry. Randy and I are interacting just fine. Go ahead.
We're having a significant engagement, John.
We are having a significant engagement, and I appreciate the engagement.
Making is that constitutional law is constitutional law. Findings are findings, and the reasons that new court decisions are made frequently is because the world has changed somewhat, and our means of communication have changed radically. My need to be at my desk has substantially disappeared because anybody can reach me 24 hours a day as long as I don't forget my cell phone.
And I would agree with that. I also agree that the Constitution is our most foundational document and that it should be strictly adhered to.
Positive that we're in compliance. 3B is in compliance.
You're positive that 3B is in compliance with the Constitution.
I would not have put this map forward with the D, with the District 9 and District 22 pairing if I did not think that it met the specific clause in Constitution, Article 6, Section 6, which says they must be contiguous. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have an opinion on the court's observation of second-rate contiguity?
I have not looked at that.
Okay. Thank you.
Randy, thank you very much. We appreciate, and all the public, too, we appreciate you participating, and we're trying to keep respectful that people are here to give their opinion, and we don't necessarily need to challenge them on their opinions. At this point, we don't see anybody else either in person or online to testify. Nicole, you've got your hand up again.
I just have a response, John, and I understand that you and I are going to agree to disagree, and that's the way that it will be from here on out. But if a member of the public intends to present a plan, I do intend to ask questions. And whether or not you frame that as a challenge, that's a subjective observation. But I will continue to ask about the Constitution. So to Alaskans listening across the state, back in September when I presented before and other third-party mappers presented their maps, I told Alaska, at the end of the day, you may not like the maps that we agree on and we adopt, but I'm going to be able to defend every single line, and I'm still of that opinion. I will be able to defend every single line and every single pairing. And if it takes questioning the members of the public to make sure that we're under the same reading of the Constitution, that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, I would just ask you to be respectful of their opinion. If they may have a different opinion, and we should respect that. And so I wouldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more, and I think every member of this board expects to follow the Constitution. But the basic fact is we may have difference of opinion, and sharp legal minds can have differences of opinion. If there weren't, probably wouldn't be a need for attorneys.
And I agree with you, but I'm not going to accept the classification that because I'm asking questions, I'm being disrespectful to the public.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard that, but Andrew Gray mentioned that you did ask him to pull the Constitution.
Either in person or online. Let's take a bit of an at ease, and then we'll come back at, say, 11:20 and see if there's anybody either in person or online that has queued up to testify. So we'll stand at ease until 11:20. Okay, it's 11:20. We'll go ahead and call the meeting back to order. I believe there's one person that's on the line that testified. Okay, yes. Online to testify, Peter?
Yes, we have Judy Ellich.
Yeah, Judy, good morning. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify. I know that I hope all of you are having a blessed day. I know it's pretty difficult to sit there and listen to testimony for so many days, but I did want to call in today. I've had the opportunity during my lunch break today to be able to listen to some of the interactions, and I haven't been able to do that before. And before I give my testimony, I would like to say that it seems to me that that there is one person, I don't know her, that seems to already have her mind made up on what map she wants. And I get that feeling just by the aggressiveness in her questions to people that don't support the map she does. And I just, you know, we all have different opinions, and you're correct. We just need to all be respectful to everyone, because I respect everyone and the work they've put in, and I think that they don't need to question what we're saying. So I just wanted to say that before I began my testimony in support of MAP 3B. You know, one of the things that bothered me the most was the board was accused of gerrymandering District K, but the proposed option 2 simply gerrymanders in another place to protect the sitting Senator Tom Begich, who was actually caught sending instructions to one of the board members in November, and option 2 is his plan. So we do all have different plans. The new controversy was is whether to pack the two Eagle River districts, 22 and 24, or to use the more logical combination of 23 and 24 following the transportation corridor and common interest between Jay Bear and Eagle River. But remember, importantly, 3B makes the obvious logical pairings of the two more rural and sparsely populated areas in District 9 and 22. Looking at the full map, as I did last night, anyone can see that 22 is the best match for District 9 to share the common boundary. They most certainly are the visually most contiguous districts. And I will remind people that I did live on the hillside, and I both lived on Eagle River, and I do remember that when Senator Kathy Giesel was elected and in office, she went from the first term, she went all the way from Hillside to Kenai, which I think was a very difficult thing for her to have to do, but that was what was passed. So we've oftentimes had districts that were not easy to reach. Most certainly if you lived in rural Alaska, that would be the reason. I also think that every person in the Anchorage Muni is generally socially and economically tied in some way. But I do believe this 922 links the most sense overall, just like the 2324 makes sense for the Jay Bear and Eagle River Connection. It also protects the interests of any minority community in East Anchorage, Muldoon, and Mountain View. And I just think that 3B pairing is logical and makes common sense. And so that is my testimony. I know that there's some that don't agree with me, but those are my reasons.
Okay, thank you, Judy. Questions for Judy, Bethany, and then Nicole? Give us just a moment here, Judy. Bethany's
unmuted. There we go. Thanks. Thank you for testifying. In your testimony, you mentioned a legislator, a senator, who had districts that were not necessarily close to each other but were contiguous. Was it your experience that the senator only had, like, town halls and meetings in one of those districts, or you know, had different meetings in both districts to accommodate those residents who lived in the two different areas?
You're going to have to repeat that. I'm not sure what you're asking me.
So you said you lived in the hillside, right? Did the senator, or I don't remember if you said it was a senator or a representative, but did that person have meetings and town halls and such and invite hillside residents?
Yes, it was. You're talking about the Kathy Geisel. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one you referenced before. So
yes,
and then when she represented other parts of the area, did she have town halls and meetings with those folks as well?
Yes, that happens in a lot of Senate districts because they're different communities. So if you're an elected official, you're going to go to each community. And this was before we had Zoom and things like that. So she had to drive to each one of those communities to have everything. And it was very difficult, but she did it, and she was reelected. So I assume that she did it very well. So it's just not the first time this happened. And
my question is the burden is really more so on the legislator, not on voters. It's not on residents. Residents who have the opportunity to meet with their legislator, it's really more of a burden on the elected official as far as making sure they accommodate those people, right? Okay, thank you.
And that's common among people that are that live in rural Alaska, Bush, Alaska, or most certainly more rural areas like in Kenai and maybe Match, too.
Okay, thank you. Nicole, you've got a question for Judy?
I do. Thank you for calling in, Judy. And you're right. I do have my mind pretty made up at this point, which, again, is that I'm going to follow the Constitution and stay very far away from the type of actions that got the first proclamation declared as an unconstitutional gerrymanderer. And I will continue, as I told John earlier, to ask questions. My question to you, Judy, is how would you travel from Portage to Eagle River?
The same way everybody does that lives there. I mean, you just have to go around that way. But you know what? If I'm going to probably meet, since we do that in town across the street, I'm probably going to do a Zoom meeting. As Randy Rudrick said, you know, a day has come to where things are not distance. I mean, how does someone in rural Alaska in Kotzebue meet all the villages? They have to get on a plane and fly to those communities. So that's not uncommon.
And I appreciate that as a Bush kid. I grew up in McGrath. But
I've worked in rural Alaska, yes.
Fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. How would you advise the board then that we should interpret the guidance from the Supreme Court in Hickel that says very clearly, quote, every part of the district is reachable from every other part without crossing the district boundary, and that should be our criterion for contiguity?
Well, first of all, everyone has an opinion on what the Constitution says and how it reads. So that is, when you say I'm going to follow the Constitution, well, you know very well that all of us have a different opinion on that. I assume that those I don't know how to answer that, because how did they approve Kathy Geisel crossing district lines to get to Kenai? So I just guess, you know, I have seen it done over and over again, so I'm not really sure why that is such a big concern right now, because it hasn't been in the past. And so, you know, I think that the 3B is arguably, it can be argued, because it's happened in the past. Like I said, we have been, when Con Bundy and others in Eagle River, we have been paired with South Anchorage before. This is not the first time. And so I'm not sure how that stood the constitutional view if it doesn't now.
I'm assuming then that was under different census populations. Again, if we were going to keep the same lines, there would be no point to redistrict. But we are
right, I don't think that there's been that much. I think probably South Anchorage has maybe lost a little more than Eagle River, and I don't see the numbers in the population, but, you know, every time we go through this for 10 years, you know, people say this isn't a political process. Yes, it is, because I have seen, I've seen districts change that absolutely just didn't need to change that much. It's all an opinion of the redistricting board and what they do. And so I just don't think, unless I could see the numbers, I couldn't tell you whether or not that population has changed that much. I think it did more to do, I mean, was not Eagle River with East Anchorage. That's happened for many years, and all of a sudden that's not okay. And so, and I know that South Anchorage has been with part of Muldoon, and that was okay. So I guess it just depends on what's happening and what people want at that time. At least that's how it appears that way to me, that it's much more political than it should be.
I appreciate that. I will extend an invitation if you want to come in and review some numbers. I'm happy to meet with you either before or after public testimony. I'm also happy to share my contact information, and we can go over the numbers because I think they'd be a little illuminating in your future testimony. But I do thank you for your time today. And,
welcome. Thank
I'm,
you.
I'm really happy to see you engaged.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Judy. Next, we have Forrest McDonald, who just dialed in. Forrest?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling in support of MAP 3B. And the reason why, so I've heard a number of comments from previous people testifying and from board members being very critical of people who are supporting MAP 3B and accusing them of being the same people that were against the assembly district pairings. And that's not how this works. First off, you don't get to assume or criticize people for their opinion on this call and accuse them of making calls previously when you have no evidence of that happening. But furthermore, if you're going to make the argument that it was appropriate to link the assembly and Eagle River, which did happen, if that's appropriate, now you also have the burden of evidence. You have to prove that this is somehow not appropriate, because as of right now, it seems like you're just changing standards willy-nilly. You're specifically targeting Eagle River voters through your actions and through your commentary. You're making it clear that you're trying to reduce their voting power as much as you possibly can and reduce their footprint. You haven't given an explanation on why you feel like that's appropriate. And furthermore, I'm really upset that board members have been coaching testimony as people are calling in, asking very confrontational questions, pushing people to reevaluate their opinions if it doesn't match your personal views. People can have whatever opinion they want, because guess what? They might have different values than you. They might have different priorities than you. They're trying to add that to the equation so that their voice is heard, so that we can have a diverse array of views and opinions represented, not just one person who happens to be a board member just dictating the entire process and talking down on anybody who has a different opinion. Thank you very much. 3B.
Thank you, Forrest. Questions? Nicole.
Thank you, Forrest, for calling back in. We seem to have gotten disconnected the other day before I was done asking you my questions. I want to make very clear that we're not trying, or at least I'm not trying, to reduce the voting power in Eagle River, but I'm also not of the opinion that we need to walk down the same road that was already declared an unconstitutional gerrymander by the Superior Court and affirmed on appeal to the Supreme Court. Can you give your opinion as to why the two Eagle River districts should not be linked?
Yeah, I'd like to know why it was appropriate to do it with the assembly, but it's not appropriate now. And I'd like to know why specifically Eagle River has all of these additional qualifications and constitutional questions that are applied on the process when you didn't apply that to any of the other districts in the entire state. This incredible criteria of evaluating racial distribution and then applying it to one Senate district and only one Senate district without any explanation of why you didn't look at any of the other districts in Alaska with the same criteria, that seems like something that you should offer an explanation to. If you're trying to make these arguments, only looking at one area, then I don't have to prove anything to you. You need to demonstrate, you have to make the case for that. You have to tell us why it's appropriate for you to be looking at racial demographics in only one case. When there's, that's not even a statutory requirement anywhere, okay? The statutory rules have nothing to do with this really contrived constitutional argument that you're trying to make about racial distribution.
Thank you very much. I've not been looking at racial data as it relates to Eagle River. I don't impugn that motive to any of my other colleagues on the board either. And the only thing that I'm looking toward is the Constitution that, again, says each Senate district shall be composed as near as practicable to two contiguous House districts. So I appreciate your testimony today. I understand that you are in favor of 3B, and I appreciate that we had a better connection and we didn't lose on each other as we engaged in question and answer. Thank you.
Yeah, and the record is well established that the constitutionality of this pairing was never previously an issue. This is a precedent. It's well established going back decades. This is not the first time this pairing has come up. And if you want to make the argument that this pairing is not appropriate because the districts are too far apart, we already had a map where all the districts were right on top of each other and touching, and you didn't like that one. You threw that one out. I also agree that the previous map was better than this one. But since you already threw that one out, now you're trying to throw this one out. You're trying to throw out 4 out of 5 maps and just get your way with the map that was pre-selected by the Senate Democrat Minority Leader in a text conversation with you several weeks ago. Okay, it's very transparent what you're doing. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
So that map actually was option one that Senator Begich favored for his preferred Senate pairings, and that's not under consideration today. So let's keep facts to facts and fodder for another day. But
okay, here's the fact. Why is only this district, only this pairing, why are you applying all these constitutionality questions to just this one specific area, only Eagle River? In all of the maps that you looked at, you were only applying these criteria to Eagle River.
Because in my opinion, Forrest, this is the pairing that the Supreme Court had an issue with, because we have a member of the board who said during public testimony that Eagle River was being split to get Eagle River more representation. That's an unconstitutional gerrymandering move, and I believe it's going to get the board right back into the same hot water that we found ourselves in a few months ago. So that's why I continue to have great heartburn over splitting Eagle River to increase its reach in the Senate.
So there you go again, saying that you're specifically targeting Eagle River, that you don't want Eagle River residents to have a level of representation.
No, I'm not saying that I don't want them to have. Oh, sorry.
Why don't you feel like Eagle River represent? Why doesn't Eagle River deserve to have representation? What is it specifically about Eagle River voters that you're very cautious about them having a voice in the Senate?
Oh, thank you for that follow-up question. I do believe Eagle River should have representation. I don't believe Eagle River should have any more representation, though, than it's entitled to. I don't believe we should split two Eagle River districts so that they can swallow up their neighboring districts and control the Senate seats. That's where that's where I have been on record. That is going to be my position going forward. So I'm not.
If that's not an appropriate
action,
then why are you trying to do that with the downtown Democrat districts? Why are you trying to split up Democrat districts downtown and push them into the base and Eagle River so that those districts can be swallowed up so that your people can have a disproportionate amount of representation?
Again, I appreciate that question, too, because if you look at the maps that were presented in the House, my maps were by far the less advantageous to the Democrats. They paired my map paired Democrats against each other in two different districts. My map also paired a very popular Republican against a Democrat in another district. So I don't know what
you're referring to. If your map is the least advantageous to the Democrats, then why is the Democrat minority leader in the Senate pushing them behind closed doors? That seems a little bit confused on his part. I think that Tom Begich is a very savvy, very intelligent man. I think that it would be very questionable to assume that behind closed doors he's acting against his best interests.
having a hard time following that comment, but
You said that your math is, and also, I mean, if you're saying that your math is not advantageous to the Democrats, then that means that you're factoring bias into the equation.
That's not exactly what I'm saying.
But you just admitted that your consideration.
I'm saying that I'm not factoring either party into the consideration. And I've drawn this map of Anchorage Forest, and I did so using major transportation corridors. I grouped schools as well. So
you just said on the record, in a recording, that you considered the strength of the Democrat Party in your drawing of this map, that you specifically drew it in the way that you considered the Democrats not to be particularly advantaged by.
I didn't say that at all. I said if you look at the map, mine was definitely the less advantageous to the Democrats. That's what I said.
Okay, I'd like you to explain how you came to that conclusion. And
I'm really happy to, but it's beyond the scope of what the board has been asked to do on remand. So if you leave your contact information with Peter or Johan, I'm very happy to give you a call later today. And we can
say I support Math 3B. You wanted to have all these additional conversational questions, and now you're talking about how you were evaluating this district based on whether or not they benefited the Democrat Party. And if you wanted to bring that up.
I never said that, and I'm not going to admit to saying it just because you say it so. I never said that.
I mean, the conversation is recorded on the
record. I appreciate that that's
your
position and that's what you think that happened. But, again, just because you think it happened doesn't make it so.
You just said that you drew a map that specifically didn't benefit the – like, you just said that just a second ago.
And that's my position. It's true. My house map of Anchorage didn't benefit the Democrats.
Okay, so now you're saying that you're evaluating that question in your decision-making process, but you're not offering any explanation. You're saying you're evaluating whether or not this benefits the Democrat Party specifically. I was under the impression that this was a nonpartisan process where you did not consider whether or not it would benefit the Democrat Party. Now you're telling me that that was an important part of your decision-making process, and I don't think that you haven't offered an explanation anywhere on how you did that or why you think that that's appropriate.
I have. You're just not listening. I drew the map based on transportation corridors and school systems. Those were my two primary guiding forces. And, again, just because you say it so doesn't make it true. I appreciate that you are firmly tied to Map 3D. I'm not hearing any strong constitutional reasons, though, and perhaps over the next couple of days we'll hear that from you, Forrest.
The constitutional reason is you're applying questions and legal standards to this specific district in a way to target Eagle River voters that you're not applying to any other district. You can apply all those same arguments to the downtown. You're attempting to do a downtown and base pairing. All of the same arguments you're applying against Eagle River residents could be applied to Map 2B when you're looking at shoehorning downtown people into Republican areas to try to drown out the Republican vote on base. Okay? All of those arguments cut against you as well. You have a very myopic, one-sided view of this. Anyways, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
You're right. And that view is the constitutional view. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Forrest. Next up is Yarrow Silvers. They're in the LIO office. Good morning, Yarrow. Welcome back.
Really quick before she starts to testify, I want to make it note here that I have a previous obligation. The board knows about it. Peter knows about it. So I'm going to be leaving here in a couple minutes, but I didn't want to be rude and interrupt you. So just continue as I pack up. Thank you.
Thanks. This is going to be really quick. I hadn't actually been planning to speak today, but I did just want to discuss really quickly the burden of proof. The burden of proof for using what has been described by Justice Matthews and Matthew Singer on behalf of the board as second-rate contiguity and false contiguity, as well as splitting apart the communities of downtown, Eagle River, South Anchorage, and Jay Bear residents from their gate communities in Anchorage, falls on those suggesting that these actions are logical and rational and not just a gerrymander restated. So I think that the burden of proof falls on the people that are suggesting that 3B is a rational and logical set of pairings when it splits every community in Anchorage apart. keeping communities together is not gerrymandering. Splitting communities apart is, unless you have a really rational, logical argument for it. And I have not heard that. And I have not heard a rational, logical argument for using second-rate contiguities, false contiguities. I have not heard a rational, logical argument for any of this. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Yarrow. Questions for Yarrow? Thank you very much. Let's see, Peter, we do have somebody, Mike Eddington from Anchorage, online. Mike, are you with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead, Mike.
Thank you. So my name is Mike Edgington. I live in Girdwood, but I'm actually representing the – I'm co-chair of the Girdwood Board of Supervisors, and I'm representing the Girdwood Board of Supervisors in this call today in my testimony. We had the opportunity to meet on Tuesday evening. At the time, there were three maps or three options being presented, option one, option two, and option three. We discussed them all in some detail, and we as a body – that we are an elected body. We're elected to represent the community of Girdwood. And we also have the functions of the community council, but unlike the community councils, as individuals, we're elected by the whole of Girdwood in the municipal elections. So we considered all three maps. The unanimous feeling of the board was that at the time, maps one and two represented the much more compact and contiguous Senate district than map three. We did discuss if there were going to be any additional changes, what the features were that we considered that we supported map one and two and did not support in map three. And it really was the issue of continuity or contiguousness across the Chugach National Forest and Chugach State Park. The idea that when there are options, again, we're not talking about places where there's no options here. There are many options. So when you look at the map 2 in this case or map 3B, 1 uses the continuity of literally, houses and residential areas right next to each other. The other uses miles and miles and miles of a major mountain range to get continuity. There's no population there. There's no practical way of getting one side to the other unless you have mountaineering skills in which to take several days. It's just not a... It's not contiguous in any practical sense of the word. And we do have options here. So the sense of the board has said in a unanimous vote was that we supported map three, we supported map one or two over map three or any similar maps which combine Eagle River with South Anchorage Hillside or Turnagain Arm Girdwood. And I'm happy to take questions.
Hey, thank you. Any questions for Mike? Hearing none, let's see. Peter, is there anybody else that you see there in person or online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not see anyone else off-net or in the room who would like to testify at this time.
Okay. Well, we were going to go until noon. I don't know what the wishes of members are. We're going to convene again tomorrow, so if people didn't get a chance to testify today because of it was a work day or couldn't make the schedule, they can certainly call in tomorrow and testify as well. That's our current schedule. I don't know if members want to stick around and see if in the next 11 minutes anybody else comes on, or if we should just adjourn until tomorrow when we have our next public hearing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead, Bethany.
I'm happy to stay on. I have no problem with other members dropping off. I'm happy to stay on, and since we know that the testimony will be recorded as well as transcribed. Other members will be able to see it, but I'm happy to stay on and hear the testimony of anybody who calls in that time period or comes into the office.
Okay, well, thank you, and that is very handy, and I appreciate, Peter, all the work that you do to get those transcribed to us by the evening of the day that people are actually testifying. That's incredibly helpful. I know it's a tremendous amount of work, and your time and effort are very much appreciated. So with that, I think I'm going to ring off, and Bud and Bethany, if you two want to stay on, or go ahead, Bud, you have your hand up there.
Yeah, I was just going to say I can stay on, too. I may do some other chores or something, but I'll leave the Zoom on in case someone comes on.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right. Hi, John.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Take care. See you tomorrow, John.
Thank you.
Doug Robbins just signed as a testifier.
Peter, you broke up there. I couldn't hear what you said.
We have a Doug Robbins who just signed in to testify, if members would like to hear his testimony.
Okay.
Mr. Robbins, are you with us?
Yes, I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so this is Doug Robbins from the Anchorage Hillside representing myself. I've spoken before. I had another brief here. I'm going to quote the Alaska Constitution from the Distributing Board website. After describing the criteria for legal standards for redistricting, the final words are, drainage and other geographic features shall be used in describing boundaries whenever possible. So it does seem to me that the option three, as modified, is clearly contrary to the criteria defined in the Constitution for designating Senate districts. This is in the description of Senate districts. To validate that pairing, you either have to consider that the Chugach Mountains are not a geographic feature, which is false, because they're virtually impassable for ordinary civic interaction, or that, well, I guess that's just it. You'd have to say that the mountains are not a geographic feature, or that there is no other possible way to join districts, which there clearly is. You can join Eagle River to Eagle River, South Anchorage to South Anchorage. So anyway, that's I think that option three cannot stand according to the constitutional criteria. That's all I have to say. Are there any questions?
Bud, do you have any questions for Mr. Robin?
No questions. Thank you for testifying.
Thank you, Mr. Robin.
We have Gretchen Stoddard has dialed in. She's from Anchorage, but she's through the teleconference system. Gretchen, can you hear us?
Hi, thank you. I'm not really ready to testify. I thought that, but I was wondering if I could request for tomorrow, like a time, or that people could call in and request that I'm not comfortable enough with these topics to be questioned on it, but I'd like my comments to count, perhaps. You know, some things are more of like a, you have a 3-minute time limit and you talk and then it's done. Is that something that could be requested in this, for this?
Yeah, Gretchen, if you would like to give your comments and decline to answer questions, that's certainly your prerogative. You are not required to answer questions of the board. We want to hear your opinion. We want to hear from every Alaskan. And if you don't feel, you know, that you have, you know, the expert background to answer some of the technical questions that might be posed, by all means, there's nothing that requires you to answer those questions. So always feel free to give your testimony. Your voice matters.
Okay.
The other option is just to submit written comments or testimony online, and then Nobody's going to cross-examine you on that.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you. That's all I had.
Okay, Ms. Stoddard, you are on the record
now. Thank you for
contacting. If you have testimony, you're free to give it now if you wish.
No, I'm not really comfortable doing it now.
Okay.
I was asking questions in the chat. I was in there earlier in person, and I kind of didn't realize the way to do it was, call it, Yeah. Anyway, no, I'll call back tomorrow if I'm ready. Thank you.
I was going to say, do you have the information about tomorrow and next week's hearing?
Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. No one else has signed up presently, so we'll just wait for an additional 5 minutes or so.
Will do. We have had Julie, I'm going to mispronounce her last name, Julie Colomby. Julie, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Julie. We
hear you, Julie.
Great. Hi.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Could you state your last name for us?
It's Julie Colomb.
Hello. Okay, great. Thank you for calling, Julie. You may proceed with
your... Yeah, hi. So I've been listening, and I am a resident of the Hillside. I was very engaged in the reapportionment process, and so I have not called because I've been really torn. I hate both maps that are left. One of the things that we did with reapportionment was we fought really hard to combine South Side with Eagle River. My main issue with that is because in reapportionment, they were taking a pretty small population of the Hillside and combining it with a large population in Eagle River. So I didn't feel like the representation for the Hillside would be there. So when I look at this and I'm listening to what people are calling in, sometimes I think we get in the weeds, and I'm not saying that the Constitution is just the weeds, but it's obviously it needs to be constitutional. But the bigger picture is, are the people being represented? Is representation happening? And I really struggle with Map 2, and I struggle with 3B just because of the combination of Hillside and Eagle River, because that's what I fought against in the assembly districts. But as I thought about it, when you're making lines for Senate districts, that's much different than an assembly. The issues that a representative has to tackle as a senator are going to be different than an assembly member. And so I'm not a fan of both maps. I would veer towards 3B just because I think J-Bear's better represented in that. And I do believe that the area that Eagle River's being combined, I feel like they would have fair representation. They would not be overwhelmed by Eagle River. We would still have, because it's going all the way to Whittier and it's the majority of the hillside, at least the representation there, the population, is more even than what we were talking about in reapportionment. I also super struggle with all these arguments against being contiguous. I went through all those reapportionment meetings, and there were so many fights that those should be combined, that the Chugach State Park makes it contiguous, and now in a different setting, somehow it's not contiguous. I've lived in Eagle River. I lived in Eagle River for 20 years. I lived on the south side for 15 years, and I've lived on base. And we're a military family, and I want J-Bear well represented. I don't think they're well represented by a downtown representative. I know Eagle River very well. I have my son who's in the military. His family lives in Eagle River. That is a very heavy military population. And so, yes, they work on base, on J-Bear, but they live in Eagle River, and their families go to the schools and everything. I just look at the people that are being represented. Are they being represented well in two or map 3B? If I have to look at the numbers and how people are being represented, I would prefer 3B. But I struggle because we fought hard to not do that in reapportionment. But I guess the point of my call is there is a difference in what's happening now and what we did with the assembly representation. And I have been hesitant to call, but because there's been such a third degree, I'm no expert on redistricting. I'm not a constitutionalist. But I look at it from a common sense point. How's the population being represented? Is it equal? Is it fair? And I just want the best for J-Bear and Eagle River and South Anchorage. And I know that it's a trek from Eagle River to the hillside physically. But what was stated before, with this day and age, it's very easy to connect with your district. Most of my representatives connect with me through email and Zoom. I very rarely see them in person anywhere. So that, to me, doesn't hold much weight. The other point I wanted to make was, the court decision right now that's being cited over and over again, part of that decision was that the court had a problem with the board's refusal to consider and make good faith effort to incorporate public feedback. So I would just give the board a warning on some of these calls and how they're being treated, the callers are being treated. That is sounding like they're refusing to make a good faith effort as well, just like they did the first time around. So there's definitely plenty of people that are intimidated to call. I'm not. The main reason why I struggled with calling has been, you know, that I went through the reapportionment process and was very active. But this isn't challenging callers. This is intimidating callers and the public, and that's not going to bode well for the record. So that's all I have to say.
Julie, thank you very much for that very insightful testimony. I did want to let you know that because you brought up the issue of population, I wanted to check on that, and so I went to our website and was able to see that in District 22, Eagle River, mm-hmm. in our proclamation map, Eagle mm-hmm. River has 18,205 people in District mm-hmm. 22, and mm-hmm. District 9 of the Hillside has 18,284 people. Mm-hmm. So that is, you can see the numbers there that Peter's bringing up there for you. So 18,284 the Hillside, and then 22 is 18,000. So, you know, as you pointed out, much more balanced in terms mm-hmm. of the population, and then therefore quite different than what you were talking about for the assembly reapportionment. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure, because in reapportionment, we were looking at about 12 to 15,000 people on the hillside to 35,000 on the in Eagle River. That just wasn't balanced. So that's why I've kind of changed my opinion, just to see the population even like that. I appreciate those numbers. I knew it was closer. I didn't have the exact number, but yeah, I think that should be weighed into the discussion. But just a reminder, like the whole point of this is to make sure people are being represented. And I feel like that's a better representation than chopping off Jay Bear to downtown. I'm very opposed to that.
Thank you very much, Julie. Bob, do you have any questions? Looks like he does not. So, Julie, thank you for testifying.
No problem. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't see anyone else online, and this room is needed for a Budget Finance Committee meeting, so I should probably wrap it up. Bud,
all right.
Do you have any comment?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Your host is exiting the conference.